That's right. John chapter 13, verse 1. John chapter 13, verse 1. This month is mental health month. Did you know one out of every three people have a mental health problem? So quickly, just quickly, without saying a word, look to your left. Look to your right. And if everybody looks okay. We all are. We're all helpless without the mind of Christ. That's right. I can think about the times I just say, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do this. I just can't do this. I got to let you. You got to take it. If you don't take it, it ain't going to be done. Yes, 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 yes. All right, John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, therefore, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God. In other words, he was secure. Somebody say, he was secure. Amen. He riseth up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After he poured water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wash them with the towel wherewith he was girded, or to wipe them with the towel. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto them, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto him, Know you what I have done? You call me master, and you say, Well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, therefore the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch in a very, very powerful way. Let this day be one, Lord, that will be remembered from here to eternity. Lord, we know, God, that you got this, and we trust you with it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You take somebody. Look, y'all move around. Move around. Move around and tell somebody it's good to be here. Go ahead. You got my permission. Move around. Talk to somebody. All right. Isn't everybody good? Okay. Everybody, we need to pray also. Georgia, remember Georgia? Georgia fell and broke her shoulder and her hip, and they had to put Ben in a home. So let's go ahead and quickly just say a prayer for them. It's, you know, growing old is not for sissies. Amen? Nah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Georgia. I thank you for Ben. I thank you, God, for all you, they've done through you. You've done through them and for them. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch them, to lift them up, God. Touch her body. Help her, Lord. She told me that it was slow, but she was doing good. I thank you for that. And touch Ben right now. I know, Lord, what he's going through is not easy either. And I ask you right now to bless them both. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Six-year-old Angie and her four-year-old brother Joel were sitting together in church. Joel giggled and sang and talked loud during the service. Finally, his big sister had had enough. You're not supposed to talk out loud in church. Why? Who's going to stop me? Joe asked indignantly. Angie pointed to the back of the church and said, see those two men standing by the door? He said, yes. She said, they're hushers. All right, there you go. Okay, that's mixed reviews. Okay. How many said you're going to lose weight for the new year? I'm going to tell you how to gauge it. Don't look. Do not look at your scale. If you want to gauge losing weight this year, here's my goal. My goal this year is to be able to clip my toenails and breathe at the same time. That's a good one. Amen. Amen. Now, there's many symbols in the scripture. Of course, and this is just for where we left off last week. It won't be long. I just wanted to put a couple of these up here. And the second mile, everybody we're talking about the second mile year, we're going to go to second mile. Second mile servanthood. The towel that turns the world upside down. Isn't that amazing? I love it. I love it. I love it. Remember, he was not supposed to walk. Amen. He's running. That's right. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's running. Amen. Amen. Them doctors, they're very good. They're very good at what they do, and they're training hard. But sometimes they leave out the one factor. That's the G factor, and that's God. Amen. So we're going to go over what we started last week, just a few slides, and then we're going to jump right in to this week's. There's many symbols in Scripture. The cross is salvation. The tomb is the resurrection. The crown is authority. And, of course, John 13 really kind of sums all this up. Jesus picks up a symbol that is very rarely celebrated physically, but you can also celebrate it ceremonially, is he picks up the towel. Now, this is tough now. This is really, really tough. Last week, we had a commission service, and many people got a towel. If you were not here and you want to get a towel at the end, the commission means you're going to have to say, I'm willing to pick up the towel and go to second mile and do what Jesus did, and that's wash the feet of those that have angered me, that have done me wrong, that have done things that they shouldn't have done, but I forgive them, and I'm also going to show them that I can be what like Jesus did, because he did the same thing to the ones that hurt him. So, real quickly, I'm going to go through them quickly, so y'all watch this now. The towel is the true sign of greatness. Jesus didn't teach servanthood. He didn't just teach it. He demonstrated servanthood. In this passage, he calls us not just to serve, but he calls us to serve at the second mile level. And y'all say this with me. Second mile, listen, say it with me. The second mile was where servants are made. Amen? So the context here, real quickly, the context. As a matter of fact, this makes me aggravated every time I read it. This is the room before the towel. You feel the tension in the room. It's the final night before the cross. Judas has already sold Jesus out. Peter is hours away from denying him. The disciples are arguing about who is the greatest. and the weight of betrayal and abandonment. He wasn't just betrayed, he was abandoned. Y'all know the difference in being betrayed and abandoned. Amen? You can be betrayed, but they're still in your presence. But you can be abandoned. You can even be abandoned and they're still in your presence. But abandonment can be even worse than betrayal. And so here it is again. Jesus responds by picking up, doesn't respond with the throne, doesn't respond with the sword, not with the rebuke, but with a towel. And here's the second mile principle. We're getting ready to jump into this week's. And that is, second mile servants respond to chaos with calm, to pride with humility. Think about it. Think about this. That's such a powerful, powerful thing. First responders know what I'm talking about, because when you get there in a house fire or a DOA or somebody, a code blue, you have to respond with calm in the chaos. Amen. And so think about this here. Now, we're getting ready to jump into this week's. Remember this. Servanthood is not selective. Let me just pull this chair up here and just kind of get plow down. Y'all ready? Servanthood is not selective. You don't get to choose whose feet you're washing. I remember going to a men's conference, and I was the keynote speaker. And before the conference, they were going to have a foot washing. And the guy that invited me said, I want you to come and wash my feet, and I'm going to wash yours. I said, okay. But later on, I thought about it. And I said, honestly, if I'd have had my rathers, I'd have just walked through the room and found somebody and asked them, could I wash their feet? So, here it is. Jesus washed the feet of those who would betray him, who would deny him, who would abandon him. So this isn't just everyday run-of-the-mill stuff. So, number one, we talked about what Jesus did, and that picked up the towel. Number two, this little towel here is kind of sticky too. All right. Got this sticky material. All right. He says in John 13:13-14, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. Now, picking up this towel, I want you to think about something. You got to think about this. Get it deep in your soul. What I'm getting ready to tell you may save you and others and help you grow leaps and bounds. Ready? Jesus didn't deny his authority. He doesn't pretend to be less than he is. Then he flips the kingdom upside down. He says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Now, this goes much deeper than foot washing, a lot deeper than foot washing. I want you to think about this. Ready? In the Greek, the word ought means literally a moral obligation, a sacred duty, a kingdom requirement. Wow. Let me read this story to you. A large corporation was preparing for a major investor visit. Everything had to be perfect. The lobby polished, the conference room spotless, the hallways shining. But early that morning, the janitor called in sick. The restroom, the one right outside the executive bathroom, was a mess. The employees panicked. Manager scrambled. Everyone said, that's not my job. Then the CEO, a man with a corner office, six-figure suit, and a schedule packed with meetings, walked in. He saw the problem. He didn't call anyone. He didn't complain. He didn't delegate. He rolled up his sleeves. He grabbed a mop, and he put on gloves. And he cleaned the bathroom himself. And the employee walked in and froze and said, sir, what are you doing? The CEO smiled and said, leadership is not position, it's posture. He finished cleaning, washed his hands, and walked in the boardroom like nothing happened. That second mile, that's the towel. You know, I remember I had a big, big, big audit coming at Fountain. I mean, it was a big one, and we could lose some certifications if it wasn't done just right. And I had a whole wall of material stacked in the wrong place. And I needed it moved, and I needed it moved right then. And I walked up to the manager, and I said, I told him, I said, I need you to get all this stuff moved. And normally I go, yes, sir, yes, sir. But he looked at me and said, sir, I'm sorry. And he said, but I got people sick. I got all this work done. I got this audit coming too. And really, I really can't afford to give you anybody. And so I looked around. I saw a lift truck. And I said, is anybody using that lift truck? He said, no. And so here I was dressed to the nines. I get up and I get that lift truck. And I start moving this whole wall of stuff. See, it was so nasty, I would look like a commando. Dirt was everywhere. And one by one, people come up to me and say, who'd you make mad? And I said, nobody. They said, why are you doing this? I said, dude, I used to train people how to do this. I can do this. He goes, you're not supposed to do this. You should carry a notebook, not drive a truck. I said, there's nobody to drive a truck. We got an audit coming. Everything's okay, I promise you. And I got asked time and time again, who'd you make mad? And when I got through, I looked so dirty, I couldn't meet these people looking like I looked. So I said, I'll be right back. And I ran home, took a quick shower. And on the way out the door, I bet I was asked 10 times, you getting fired? Who'd you make mad? What's going on? I said, there was a job to do. And I did it. Now let it be the end of the story. Everything's fine. And I drove home, well, just a few miles down the road, and I come back and I heard the Lord speak in my heart and say, I'm pleased with you today, my son. You see, second mile is where it's at. Amen? So here it is. Look, so number two was, why do you call me Lord, my teacher and Lord? Because you're right. So insight, let's do some insight into this one. I'm going to do some insight. Ready? Got my towel. The insight here. Ready? Jesus, when he did this, he was not lowering himself, but he was raising the standard for all of us. Wow. That's very, very powerful. Here's the second mile principle number two. The first mile is duty. The second mile is destiny. Let me just ask you a question. How long has it been since you were willing to pick up the towel? And that doesn't mean always picking up the actual towel. It can mean picking up trash in the parking lot. It can mean going somewhere and you're seeing something, you pitch down and picking up something. I hate it when I was walking through Food Lion one night, and the man, they were shopping, and the husband looked at something and missed the counter. And dropped the merchandise in the floor. And they started walking off, and the wife looked at the husband and said, you just dropped that. He says, I know. And she said, well, pick it up. He said, they got people here for that. How many like to go into Walmart and you're trying to park and there's a cart right in the parking space? But the rack that received the carts is two down. So instead of going and putting the cart in the rack, they just push it. That's not the second mile. We don't need to do that. We need to be different than everybody else. We need to show them what Christ talked about when it comes to that towel. So here's the challenge. Get ready. This is a tough one now. Y'all ready for the challenge this week? I don't think you are. Ready? Take the lowest place on purpose. This week, don't wait. This week, I want you to choose a job that nobody wants. Let somebody else go first. Do something anonymously. Serve without being seen. This week. Why? Because humility is the uniform of the second mile servant. Now, number three. John 13:15, he says, I have given you, come on, there you go. I have given you an example. Jesus didn't just give a command. He gave a pattern. The Greek here, when he said they're giving you example, that word example, watch it. It means model. It means a blueprint. It means a pattern to trace. Jesus is saying, trace your life over mine. Wow. You know, I see a lot of people willing to go out of the way to help my four no more. They'll take care of their children and do things they wouldn't dare do for anybody else. They'll take care of their little circle. Man, they're doing it. And Jesus says, so? Are you trying to impress me? If you're just going to do it for your four no more, do you think you're impressing me? No! Go out and find somebody that can't take care of themselves. Go out and help somebody that can't lift that hand. Go out there and find somebody that you don't even want to talk to. And bless them. That's when you picked up the towel. Wow. I did hear one help me. And I heard three ouches. So get ready. Won't take long. I don't think we can handle much more. Here's the insight. Ready? Y'all, are y'all really ready? Here it comes. The world climbs ladders, and Jesus carries a towel. Second mile principle number three. The second mile is where you stop asking, what do I have? Ready? Get ready. I'm telling you, it's tough. The second mile is where you stop asking, what do I have to do? And start asking, what more can I do? Wow. Now the challenge, follow the pattern, not the culture. Let them sink in a little bit. Follow the pattern, not the culture. This week, replace complaining with serving. I remember one time, and I told y'all this years ago, I was in Starbucks. I was trying to do my sermon. I just left the hospital in Greenville. And I think I just went ministered to May Gray and all the Gray family anyway, and Burton Gray. And I stopped to get some coffee. I could work on my sermon. And while I'm working, I tried to walk up to get my coffee. But this person, there was two persons, they were sitting there. And they stood in the way, sitting in the way and blocking everybody. And just sitting there, kind of looked around like they were, I don't know what they thought to who they were. And I said, Lord, I really need you. Don't ever ask if you don't mean it. I said, Lord, show me what to do because I'm really upset. He said, go buy him some coffee. I said, here? The expensive stuff? He said, go buy them some coffee. So I thought I was going to go up and say, there was two of them. I thought maybe I could, you know, so I said, look, I saw y'all sitting here and y'all look like y'all ain't got any coffee or anything. And so I want to get y'all something to drink. And they said, we'll drink water. I said, no, I want to get you something to drink. I want you both to go up there and pick out what kind of coffee you want. I thought they were just going to get a regular coffee, come down with a little cup, This was 10 years ago when I could afford Starbucks. I thought we'd get a little cup. They both came back with the biggest cup they had, with cream and nuts and berries and donuts and all kinds of stuff in it. They had to have the waitress carry it to the table for me. It was so big. And I went up and they said, it'll be $20-something dollars. I just paid a dollar for my coffee. And Lord, you told me to take care of how I'm feeling by getting him coffee. So before I was aggravated that they were in my way. Now I'm aggravated because they bought $20 worth of coffee. As I sat there and I said, okay, Lord, I learned my lesson. I'll be quiet. This is about the point where my wife goes, I doubt it. All right. Replace complaining with serving. Get ready. Here goes another biggie. Replace entitlement with gratitude. How many of you got something, your boss gave you something, your work gave you something, a friend gave you something, somebody did something for you, and instead of getting thankful for it, you're going, well, is that the best you can do? I know none of y'all do that. That's the best you can do? How about if you want to please God and pick up the towel, no matter how small it is, learn to be thankful instead of saying, I deserve a lot more than that. Because the truth is, we deserve a whole lot more than we get, but it's the opposite way. Amen? Okay. And here it is. Here's the biggie. Get on up there. Come on. Get on up. There it goes. Replace "that's not my job" with "how can I help?" You know, at Fountain, there was a lady from Haiti, I think it was, Cuba or Haiti. Her name was Ida. She was a great woman. But I can remember I'd say, look, my part of the office over here is really, really nasty, and I really wish you could take care of that. And she would go, not my job, mine. It was constant. I go, can you take care of that? She goes, not my job, mine. And it got in there, so everybody in there in the engineering department started going, not my job, mine. Not my job, mine. Hey, quit saying it's not my job. You know, the difference in growing and maturing is if you can get past not my job. You know, there's a story. This is a very true story. There's a story about a young nurse. Her name was Rebecca. All right, just I'm telling the name because that's who it was. There's a story about a young nurse named Rebecca who worked a night shift in a busy urban hospital. She was excellent at her job, skilled, compassionate, efficient, but she was also exhausted. One night after a long 12-hour shift, she finally was clocking out. Her feet hurt, her back ached, and all she wanted was to go home, collapse in bed, and forget that the world existed. As she walked down the hallway toward the exit, she passed by a room where an elderly man lay awake staring at the ceiling. He wasn't her patient. She wasn't assigned to him. Her shift was over. She had done everything required of her. Y'all say first mile. But something in her spirit tugged. She paused. She argued with herself. I'm tired. I've done enough. Somebody else will check on him. But the tug wouldn't go away. God wouldn't leave her alone. Have you ever had a time where God wouldn't leave you alone? Yes. So she stepped into the room. The man looked up surprised, said, oh, I didn't want to bother anyone, he whispered. I just didn't want to die alone. Rebecca froze. She checked his chart. He wasn't dying. He was simply afraid. Afraid of the dark. Afraid of the unknown. Afraid of being forgotten. She pulled up a chair, took his hand, and stayed not for 5 minutes, not for 10. She stayed for over an hour, long after her shift ended, until finally he drifted into a peaceful sleep. The next morning, the doctor told her Whatever you did last night, it saved him. His vitals stabilized, his anxiety dropped. He's a different man today. Rebecca didn't perform a miracle. She didn't administer new medication. She didn't do anything dramatic. She simply went the second mile. She did what wasn't required. She stepped in a moment that she didn't have to step into. She moved where she could, didn't have to stay, and she stayed still. She acted when she could have walked out. God met her there. I think I've told you all the story. If I have, bear with me. I'm getting old. I repeat myself sometimes. Y'all ain't smiling, so I must really be doing that. That's right. That's right. Well, one night, I was on call at Betsy Johnson. That's like Pitt's, a major trauma center. I was on call. There was only seven of us. We were building a new program, so we were really being worked hard. And I was preaching, and my pager went off. I'd give it to the guy in the audience and said, "My pager goes off. Just hold it and let me know, and then I need you to just go call and find out what's going on." So he went and called, and he come back, and he said, "There's somebody there, a patient, wants to talk with you." And so I went back and said, "Ask them, can it wait till morning?" And they said, "Yes." I was getting off in the morning of my shift. My own call was leaving the next morning. So I was going in, and I was taking back my pager. I was tired. But I took my pager, and I was walking back to my car. I said, "Oh, man, I forgot to go talk to that person." And they gave me a room number, so I walked in, and I was shocked. Because there was a woman in distress on life support. And I walked in and said, "Can I go talk to this lady?" They said, "This patient." And they said, "Sure, but don't speak long because she's in trouble." So I walked in. Her sugar was down. Her blood pressure was up. Her blood was crazy. It was just crazy. And I walked up to her and I said, "Hey." And I said, "You wanted to talk to me last night?" She said, "Yes, I really need to talk to a pastor, a chaplain." And as we got talking, she said, she started talking about how bad off she was and that she knew she was going to make it out of there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Ask her not to abort that baby." She hadn't told me that. And so I looked at her and I said, I said, "Where you go to church?" I said, "I go to Church of God." I said, "Me too." "So you believe in words of wisdom and words of knowledge?" She says, "Yes." I said, "God just told me something, and he told me to tell you." And she goes, "What is it? Please tell me." I said, "The Lord told me the reason why you're going through all this distress is because you're in agony because you're thinking about aborting your child." And she burst into tears. And she said, "How did you know?" I said, "I told you, the Holy Spirit just told me." And she cried and she cried and she cried. And she looked at me and she said, "You know what?" We talked another 30 minutes to an hour. And she said, her mama come in. When her mama come in, she said, "Mama, this is Chaplain Linton." And she said, "I got something I need to tell you." Mama said, "What is it?" She said, "I'm not going to abort the baby." I had no idea all this was going on. Because she weren't like this big. She was just kind of, And her mama started crying. And I said, "I'll come back." I prayed with her. I said, "I'll come back and see you later." She said, "I'm not going to abort this baby." I came back that night to intensive care. And the nurse said, "She's not here." And I'm like, "Oh, God, she died." I said, "Where is she?" She said, "She's on the regular floor." So I need to talk to you. And I said, "What do you need to, excuse me, ma'am, what you need to talk to me about?" The nurse said that. I said, "What do you need to talk to me about?" She said, "What did you do to her?" I said, "Ma'am, I didn't do a thing to her." She said, "When you went in there, she was next to death. When you left, things started changing so much that we put her on a regular floor in a couple of hours." "What did you do to her?" I said, "I just prayed with her, and we made some decisions." She says, "Whatever it was awesome." And so I go in her room, and we start talking. I said, she said, "I don't know if the baby's going to be able to live or not." And I said, You name that. If it's a boy, you name her Victor. If it's a Victor. If it's a girl, name her Victory. But God's got you in this. So I came back the next day. She was gone. I had not seen her. She was gone. 2 days before on life support, now she's gone. I didn't know where she was at. And I moved to Williamston. So about 7, 8, 9 months later, I get a letter in the mail. It's a thick letter, and it smells like perfume. And it said to David Linton, and my wife came up and went, "What's this all about?" And I said, "It's got to be D.C. That got to be to David Linton, not me." It's good having a junior. She says, "No, it says your name." And so I looked on the back and I saw Victory. I said, "I know what this is." I opened up and she told me the story from that day that we prayed until that child was born. And right on to that day, because it was several months old at that time, she said, "I had that baby boy. His name is Victor. We've had some challenges, but God has met us every step of the way. Thank God that he didn't give up on me, and thank God that you stepped in that room when you didn't have to." God is awesome. Second mile, pick up that towel. Amen. So next, here we go. Almost through. I said almost. If you get tired of sitting, pick up a towel and sit on it. Ready? You got your towel anyway. Ready? Come on. There it is. John 13:16. Servant is not greater than his master. If the master served, servants must serve. If the king knelt, the kingdom must kneel. Matthew 5:41. If someone forces you to go to a mile, go with him too. That is literally talking about soldiers. And what was going on that day, Rome was in control. And if a soldier came along, it was a law. He could drop his clothes. He could drop his bag. He could drop his weapons right there. And he could tell you, compel you, which means to put into service. He could compel you to go a mile. And according to the law, you had to carry his burden for 1 mile. And Jesus said, don't just carry it 1 mile. Be different. Carry it 2 miles. Okay? So the first mile is obligation. The second mile is revelation. Okay? Mark 10:45. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. You know the difference you really can tell in mature Christians? It's not in what they got. Not in how they pray. Not in their talent. You know how I can tell a mature Christian? In how they serve. That's the mark. That's the power place. How they serve. And it's also a true mark of maturity. I'm getting ready to close. I done told you that. You already know they don't mean anything. So go ahead and say that. He don't mean anything. Say it. Okay, now y'all got it out your system. Get ready. Almost through. We really are almost through. Why should you go the second mile? When you feel like giving up, keep on pushing forward and enjoy a meaningful life. I've never seen anybody that actually did anything that didn't go the second mile. Amen? The second mile is where Jesus walks. If you want to find him, I can't find Jesus. You want to find Jesus, go the second mile. I wish I could hear him. Go the second mile. Amen? So here's the challenge. Go the second mile. And this week, get ready. Y'all ready? Do more than is required of you. Stay longer than expected. Give more than asked. Love deeper than comfortable. I remember one time I was sitting there, D.C. and Daniel were arguing over who was going to get. I was still making them. I was still making them, but there was one pancake, one. And they were arguing about who's going to get that last pancake. They're little bitty fellas. You know, and they said, I'm getting it. No, I'm getting it. And I said, you know what? They said, what, Dad? I said, Jesus would freely give that pancake to his brother. And they looked at me for a while. They looked at each other. And DC looked at Darren and said, okay, you be Jesus. I've always taught my boys, and I've done this, if you can find a way at work to go in 15 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late every day and longer on both ends, it's amazing what'll happen, because there the people start watching. They'll take notice, and they'll start giving you more things to do, and you'll find out that you'll wind up being a very powerful man or woman at that place if you're not just watching the clock saying 8 hours is 8 hours, but instead say, I'm giving this unto the Lord. This 8 hours is God's hours. I'm giving it to him. Amen. I'm going to get there early so I can get the whole 8 hours in. Amen. So, I told you, it's getting close. There ain't but five principles, so you know we're getting close. All right. He said, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus ends with a promise. Blessing is not in knowing. Blessing is in doing. You know, if I've been hurting, or somebody's been hurting, one of your friends, or you've been hurting, and you've been hurting for days, weeks, months, and you finally come up to your really good friend and say, they go, how's it going? Say, man, this has been terrible. And then they tell you, I've been praying for you. That's nice. But you think they could have told me while I was actually in pain? Don't wait till it's over to tell me you were praying for me. You think you could tell me right then, I see you're hurting. I see you're in pain. What can I do for you? How can I make it lighter on you? We're so much good about just sitting in and letting everybody else do it. Let the preacher do it. That's what he gets paid for. I promise you, if I got paid for everything I did, y'all couldn't afford me. Let's let the deacons do it. Let's let, how about everybody do it? Everybody do it. Amen? Okay. Get ready. Here's the final. Here it comes. Giving blessed. That word blessed means deep joy, inner satisfaction, divine favor. Who needs some divine favor in their life? Amen. Those prisoners I smell all the time say, why was you tell these guys before they go into court? And I say, you thank God for divine favor, because favor ain't fair. You thank him for favor with the judge, with the jury, with the DA, with your lawyer. You thank God for divine favor. When you're in that block, you thank God for divine favor with those other guys in the block. Because I promise you, if you start thanking God for it, it's the purest form of faith. It hadn't happened yet, but you're thanking God for it. So here we go. Here's the insight, and I'm getting ready to close. Ready? I promise this time. All right, here's the insight. You don't get blessed for understanding. You don't get blessed for understanding servanthood. You get blessed for practicing it. When I was not a paramedic, I wanted to be a paramedic. We didn't have them then. When I was an EMT, we were finishing up our class. I had three instructors. And I had rescue and had a hospital and I had a fire. So I had everything. I mean, I had the best class, I think, around at that time. And I remember at the end, we were practicing for our state boards. And while we were practicing for our state boards, my instructor said, who was a captain in the fire department, he said, at this moment, after all these weeks, however many weeks it was, twice a week, he said, at this moment, you are able to do more at that scene than some doctors and nurses can, because they're not trained for it. He said, now, my suggestion to you is to go out. And my push and my ordination to you is go out and save lives. And we talked about the Good Samaritan law, blah, 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 all that stuff. He said, but don't do like my last class. He said, my man was good at it. He come up on a scene, and the guy had a heart attack, and nobody knew CPR but him. He said, but because his state certification hadn't come in yet, he sat there and did nothing and watched the man die. He said, don't you do that. He said, use what you got. Go out there and save some lives. And even after I stopped working the rescue squad, I saved don't know how many lives because I didn't wait to have the certification. And even when I gave it up, I gave up certification going to ministry, I still didn't stop doing what I could do. We've heard a lot this week and last week, but hearing it's not enough. You know, we got first responders in here. Y'all guys carry the towel well. You carry it all the time well. I think about Brother Wayne and Brother Jimmy and them helping all them kids out. They carry it well. And their wives. Yeah, his wife and Jimmy. They do a great job helping people. But you know what? My challenge is not to those. My challenge is to everybody. Don't just sit there. Do something. Do something so powerful and so different that the person that has aggravated you, the person that you really would like to slap in the mouth, when you pulled out that towel, you blow them away. Wow. You see, here's the fifth principle. The second mile is where blessings live. You hear me? Here's the challenge. Turn knowing into doing. In the next 24 hours, turn one sermon point into action. Just one. Turn one sermon point into action. Turn one conviction into commitment. Turn one opportunity into blessing. I want everybody, I want you to hear it goes. Ready? Read this and y'all gonna come up by it. Ready? I love this. Go the extra mile. It's never crowded there. That's the truth. Amen. I remember they say, Saturday, we're all going to meet out here. We're going to do blah, 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 blah. And I got there Saturday and say, where's everybody at? Everybody was excited. Now I'm out here by myself. Ready? I want to do it. Look, get ready. If you've been tried, if you've been selective in your serving, if you've been stuck in the first mile, if you've been avoiding the towel, if you've been waiting for others to go first, I want you to come to the altar. Come on. All that will. Come to the altar. We're all going to do something. Come on. Let's all come to the altar. I want y'all to say this with me now. You look up here and see it. Look up here and see it. I want y'all to say this with me once you get up here. Once everybody gets up here. You can look at it and read it better than just following me because I talk possum trackings and sometimes my phone don't even pick up me sometimes. Y'all ready? I want you to say, Lord, make me a second mile servant. Now, put both hands in the air as a sign of surrender, and I want you to do this. Ready? Ready? Say this with me. Ready? I choose the towel. I choose the second mile. I choose the posture of Jesus. I choose the path of servanthood. I choose the joy of obedience. I choose the blessing of the basin. I choose to follow the example of my Father. Let me anoint you right now. Let me anoint you. All right. Father, bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You're so pretty. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless them if they're here. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Bless them. Bless them. I thank you, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. I thank you, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. I thank you, Lord. 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 Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Use them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Second mile, second mile, second mile. Bless you. Bless us, Lord. Second mile, second mile, second mile, second mile, second mile. Hold on, there's still a few more. We go over here. Second mile. Lord, bless. Second mile. Second mile. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Y'all repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, that I have been given the opportunity to go the second mile. Help me to take advantage of that opportunity in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch everybody here today, Lord. Bless them, anoint them, Lord. Use them, God. And Lord, this is the year of the second mile. Lord, the year we go beyond the mile. Help everybody tomorrow when they get to their jobs, when they get to their families, wherever they go. Let people see a difference because they are going to walk the second mile. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, y'all get back to your seat. God is awesome all the time. God is awesome. You know, this is something I'm going to put in my office. It's a prayer I pray, but I want it to be a prayer that we all pray. It's called the Counselor's Prayer. Lord, help me to see what you see. Help me to hear what you hear and love as you love. Make me a safe place for the broken and a witness to your resurrection power. We all should pray that prayer all the time. Amen. Amen. The towel. I still got a few left from last week. If you didn't get a towel, it's just a little bitty thing to put in your pocket or put somewhere for you to remember, be a reminder. I still got some, so if you didn't get a towel last week, let me know. Or if you know somebody that needs a towel, let me know. I think I got about 20 more left. There they are. Little bitty old thing. Something to put in your pocket so you can remember that, hey, I'm a servant. Above all, I'm a servant. Above everything else, I'm a servant. And I thank God for it. Everybody stand. Brother Steve, you dismiss us. First, I'm going to do the Lord's Prayer. Then Brother Steve dismisses us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.